before my eyes. This is my prayer. Make it my strong desire that in my secret heart no other love competes, no rival throne survives, and I serve only you. There's not many words that are more precious than that. If you are a child of God this morning, if you have experienced God's grace in your lives, His forgiveness, then deep down within you, sometimes it's maybe buried under layers of stuff, but deep down within you, that's the prayer of your soul, because that's what the Spirit of God plants in the heart of every one of His children who have come to Him, a desire to live for Him. This morning, we come to the communion service. It is known by different terms and different denominations. Can be called the Mass in Catholic circles, or the Eucharist, or Communion, or the Last Supper, or the Lord's Table. A number of different terms, but we have the privilege in this congregation of coming together, and whatever we call it, we're here to rehearse what Jesus told us to rehearse. And this morning we're going to try and do that together. I don't have a sermon prepared, per se. I want us to participate in this communion service. We're a little more than 12, a little more than the original number sitting around the table. But I'd like us to very much, in our minds, pretend like we're 12. Like we've got a pillow and we're reclining in good Middle Eastern fashion around the table with Jesus. And we're going back 2,000 years as if it was the first time. The service will be a little different in terms of how the elements get to us, because we can't just reach out in front of us on the table and take it. We'll have someone service the elements. But I suggest to you this morning that in that original meal there were at least three major components. And of course they all started with R. As I look at the Gospels and see that episode where Jesus met with His disciples, the night in which He was betrayed, the very night before He went to Gethsemane and wept His heart out, before He was arrested, before He was tried falsely, before He was led away to the all-night interrogation and brutal beating, before the next morning where He was actually hung on the cross and died for our sins. That night, He had a meal with His disciples. And at that meal, He took bread and He took wine, and He instituted what has come to be known as this meal by different terms. I suggest to you that as you examine that meal there, the first thing we see there is a time of review. A time of review. Jesus said at that meal, He said, there's somebody here who is going to dip his bread in the wine who's about to betray me. And instantly they're all going, what? Who? Me? 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 Is it you? And then you can imagine they're looking around the table. Who is it? Who among us is going to do this dastardly thing? And they start looking at each other and then they start looking at themselves. Could it be me? Could it be me? The question forced a review. And ultimately, Judas, of course, was the one who was identified as the individual, and the text tells us that he went out. Judas never participated in this meal. He left before it was shared. In Corinthians, Paul tells us that we also ought to examine our hearts before we eat. And why are we to do that? For the same reason that the disciples around that original table were to examine their hearts. Is it I? Is it me, Lord? Am I about to betray you? Am I the one who is about to say with my lips, I'm your disciple, and then with my life turn my back on you? Is that me, Lord? We need to review. We need to take a good look inside. And sometimes we may be shocked to find a little bit of Judas inside of us. Scary thought. But it's good to identify before we come to the meal. Because if we're not willing to deal with that part of us that prioritizes our own image, our own pocketbook, our own security, our own whatever over Jesus, He actually says to us, it's better that we leave and not participate. Because if we participate in this meal knowing in our heart that we're holding on to rebellion, And Jesus says we actually, or Paul said, we actually eat and drink damnation unto ourselves. This is not just a snack. This is an important meal. So we need to review. And you know what? Before we move on to the next R, why don't we do that? Nellie, would your worship team come on up again? I know you just went down. And let's sing that chorus in there that you've got here. Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. And I'm going to ask that we all do this, and perhaps the communion stewards can come up and prepare the table and then begin to distribute the bread while we do this. I want us to think about what it is that is in our heart. You may say, well, I'm no Judas. I would never betray my Lord and my Master. Well, there's another part of the review. There was another guy sitting at the table by the name of Peter. And when Jesus said, one of you are going to deny me, again, is it me? Is it me? Is it me? And they got around to the table, and do you remember Peter's response? Oh, they may, but not me. I'm ready to die with you. I'm ready to go to the gallows. I'm ready to stand up against the crowd. I'm willing to call myself one of your followers. I'll do it, Jesus. Jesus turned to him and said, Peter, before this night is out, you're going to deny me three times. We need to examine our hearts, because on one spectrum, there's those like Judas who already have it in their heart to run out on Jesus. And we're just playing the game. On the other spectrum, you've got Peter, who could not imagine that he could do anything but be the perfect disciple. And in both cases, Jesus said, guys, take a good look at your heart. Most of us are probably somewhere in between those two bookends. But this morning, let's take time to examine our hearts and find out where we are.
Thank you.
reflect upon what God might be saying to our own hearts. Lord, is there some Judas in me? Is there some Peter in me? Am I caught somewhere in the middle? Lord, take a good look at my heart. What do you see? What do I need to review and get rid of this morning? And confess it to you. Of the original disciples sitting around that table with you. You can see right through us, Lord. There's no hiding. There's no hidden compartments. Our lives are laid bare before the one with whom we must give an account. And so, Lord, because you already see it, we simply admit what you already know. We are far less than perfect. We have entertained conflicting priorities in our life. We say we want to follow you, and yet we so often run in the other direction, looking out for our own best interest. Forgive us, Lord Jesus. And then we say we will never fail you. We have good intentions about serving you, about living for you, and then we fall flat on our face again and again and again. Face to face with our weakness. Quite frankly, some of us are sick and tired of our weakness. We desperately need your strength. We desperately need you to fill us with the power of your Spirit to be able to live the way our hearts long to live. So today we acknowledge our need of you, our own sin. But thank you that when we confess our sin, you are faithful and righteous to forgive us our sin. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We bless you for that, Lord Jesus. Thank you that today we can be clean again because of the blood and the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in His name we pray. Amen. As you have this bread in your hand, review why Jesus' body was broken. Jesus said, take this bread and eat it. It's for you. My body broken for you. We needed His body broken for us because we're sinners. We failed. We missed the mark, but thank God He broke. He was broken for us. Let's remember Him together. That service was obviously a time of review. It was also a time of remembrance. When Jesus passed out the bread and the wine to His disciples, He said, do this in remembrance of me. Now, why in the world do you think Jesus asked us specifically to remember Him? Any ideas? Why would He ask us that? Marty? You have a short memory? Anybody identify? You know, even things I want to remember, I forget. And this regular meal among God's people is a constant stimulant so that we will not forget. The most important thing in human history and the most important thing in our lives. He said, remember me. Whenever you eat this bread, whenever you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Do it in remembrance of me. What do you remember about Jesus? When we've been singing these songs this morning, we're singing about Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us. Were you just singing the songs or were you remembering Him? That's why we put these services together, to help us remember, reflect on who He is. Let's turn it open for a couple minutes. If you folks want to sit down for a couple minutes, go ahead. Let's take some time here this morning to remember. Perhaps we can have that roving mic. Ready? What has happened in the past week that has helped you remember something about Jesus? Let's take some time. We've got time here this morning. Let's remember Him. What do you remember about Jesus? That would be good for all of us. Those guys were sitting around the table that morning or that afternoon, whenever it was, that evening. And they're looking at Jesus, and He's talking about what's going to be coming. He said, I'm going to be pouring out My blood for you. My body's going to be broken for you. They're looking on the other side of the cross, probably trying to figure out what in the world it was. You and I have the advantage. We know. We know what He meant. We know what He went through the next 3 days. What do you remember about Him? Anyone, stand up and tell us. What you remember about Christ that you want to rehearse? Yes. Jim.
His abundant love.
His abundant love.
I have a real delight in praying with people a lot. And this week, we saw God really move on behalf of many families. And one was a young 12-year-old girl who had broke her leg very badly in an accident, and has a plate in it, and the leg had turned red, and it looked like there was a terrible infection inside. And we prayed on Tuesday, and Wednesday her mom emailed me at my work, and she said, praise the Lord, it was just something on the surface, and there was nothing wrong, that she's fine, and we just praise God for that. And others that were really grieving this week because of situations in their families, we saw God really bring them comfort. And so Jesus has been there. Thank you.
Amen.
I've been in Egypt for 7 years, and there's things that God promised me that I would see here before I came. And this week, He fulfilled a bunch of those promises. And He's faithful, and so I praise Him for that.
Amen. Amen. It's interesting, Rella, that He didn't give it all to you in the first 6 months, though. Right? We have to be patient sometimes, because the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, the Bible says, but He's patient, waiting for all men to come to repentance. Even His grand promises, as well as the ones He gives to us. Every promise, the Bible says, is yes and amen in Jesus Christ. But they don't all come instantly. Amen.
We went last few days. We went on a trip in the desert with Jewish and Palestinian believers, and we saw that in Jesus there is reconciliation, and there is we are brothers and sisters. And we saw people praying for each other in Arabic and in Hebrew and English, and it was really. Yeah, God is good, and He can do anything that we're not able to do.
Amen. Amen. He breaks down the middle wall of hostility. Praise the Lord.
I'm reminded this week that He sacrificed, and He teaches us to sacrifice. He never counted the cost, but He knew we were human, and He advised us to count the cost.
We discovered this week from Romans 8, actually, that when it says that God is for us and who can be against us, actually, that's not just hollow words. It's really, really true. And God has done so much for us, not only in saving us, but in drawing us into His family, hiding us in Jesus, and so being hidden in Jesus and Jesus living in us. It's like, well, okay, you know, there's nothing that God can't do, you know, and who could be against us?
We have a prayer group for our school at Katamea, and we pray regularly each week to see God answering prayer in the most amazing way. This week, as one of our members outside the classroom, we prayed on Tuesday a certain prayer, and for a situation in the classroom, and we heard the teacher we were praying for actually speak the same words that we prayed for her to have. I mean, word by word, it's just incredible. We see it all the time.
You mean you actually believe that Jesus answers prayer? We need to remember that. So have you ever been discouraged where you think, no, Jesus doesn't answer prayer anymore? Folks, remember Him. When we eat this bread, if He left the glories of heaven and come down here to fulfill all the ancient prophecies, do you think He's not going to keep His promise to you about answering prayer? Of course. Down here. He loves to answer prayer. What else do we remember? Oh, sorry, I thought you were motioning for the...
We traveled in the United States and asked people to support us in the African Hope Learning Center, and we asked the people to pray for our staff persons, and one of the persons I especially talked about was Hillary. Where's Hillary? Okay. And I said, Hillary's wife is still in South Sudan. As far as I know, we haven't heard a thing, and we wonder where she is and if she's safe. And this morning, he said she is here, but she is sleeping. God does answer
praise
prayer.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Yes.
The last 2 weeks, I had the privilege to lead a German group through Egypt. And just two things. It was a wonderful group. They were Christians. I heard yesterday that the first days in Cairo were a little bit shocking. But after we traveled inside the country, they came back to Cairo. And they really said that they loved the place and that they felt home and that they are going to pray for Egypt. And we also had the privilege to baptize one of the group members in the Red Sea, and it was on our favorite camping place, and it was a wonderful time. And we had communion, and the lady director of the place, she was there and she witnessed and she saw it, everything, and it was a wonderful time. So we saw that someone died with Christ and stood up in new life. So.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, our next song, Meekness and Majesty, is a song of remembrance. It helps us think back and to who Jesus is and what He did and this strange combination in His person. He is all of God, yet he left that all aside to take upon Himself the form of a servant and come down here to die on our behalf. Majesty and yet meekness. This strange contrast, but all wrapped up in His person. Let's sing this together, remembering Him. And as we do, I'll ask the stewards to pass out the cup to us. And in so doing, again, take... I remind you, the outer rings on the trays are wine, the inner circles are grape juice. Take according to your tradition. But let's do this as we remember Christ and celebrate His uniqueness.